All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, where we have been studying. Last time we talked more about the matter of the daily bread, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. So last time when we were talking about that, we were careful to see what we would do without that, if we're not going to worry about tomorrow, what I was supposed to do about it, and that's what we studied last time. So today I want to continue from that Matthew, chapter 6. Let me just read it again. It said, pray in this manner, in this way, our Father who art in heaven, that's verse 9, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now let's slow down and take verse 12. It said, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He now qualified that verse 12. He said, for if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, so he was qualifying what he said in verse 12, where he talked about debts or transgressions, or like in James says, trespasses. Now, I want to talk about that one today. Now, there's something I've been saying here and there as well I teach, that, you see, Christianity is a total life. Do you understand my point? And when the Lord Jesus will make statements, there are things that are implicit in those statements. They may not be so clear and out there for you to note, but they are there inside those statements, all right? That is, when he's talking here, he was talking to his disciples. I say that all the time. Like when people say that, the Lord said that whoever shall say to this mountain, all right, that he will just say whoever. Whoever is whoever can. I say whoever is not whoever. Whoever is the people he was talking to. Are you getting my point? He was talking to certain people. He was talking to his disciples. And he said whoever. That is, there are things that are implicit in those statements. He did not expect that whoever will say Jesus should disappear. I shall not believe in his heart. I shall not doubt in his heart. But I should believe that whatever he says shall come to pass. Therefore, he shall have what he says. And somebody will not say, have so much faith, Jesus will disappear. None of the disciples wanted him to disappear. Do you follow the point I'm making? All right, so we have to understand that there are things that are implicit, all right? They are inside, part of the statement. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. Prayer is like that also. And I believe that one of the things we learn about from these things is what state our hearts should be in before we can say we are the ones praying. If you go and listen to the series, The Anatomy of Prayer, there was some particular, one of the messages there we talked about, I emphasized the fact about the person praying. I'm not talking about it now. That prayer is not just a method. It's not just principles of this, how to do it, how not to do it. There's a lot in prayer that has to do with the person who is talking. And that's the most important thing about prayer. It's not just the methods, all right? It's the person. That's the most important thing about prayer. Let me say it again. It's not the way the person is saying. It is who the person is that is talking. You remember a scripture I like to refer to, Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah was praying and the Lord told him that, this is your prayer, Seth. You think it's hot? Let me refer you to those who have prayed hotter prayers than you. All right? And he referred to Moses and he referred to Samuel. And he said, this matter is so difficult that even if they were to pray about it, I wouldn't answer. That shows something that it's not about method. All right? It's about the people. That there was a weight that Moses had with God, that Samuel had with God, that Jeremiah did not yet have. Do you follow my point? Yes, that is, there are things that Jeremiah would have asked for and the Lord would have said no. It would have come from Moses and the Lord would have had to say yes. As a matter of fact, all right? Okay, so we're not discussing that now. So I'm just trying to say that, so prayer is not just method, it's a whole life. And when we look at these words of Jesus Christ, what he's doing is that he's converting us to a particular state of heart. It's not just to go there and recite these things. For example, we said, our Father who art in heaven. That is, you must be able to say, our Father. Do you follow my point? It's not just that somebody will go like the sons of Sceva and say, we have heard that anytime these Christians want to pray and get results, all right, they say, our Father. So you two will now go somewhere and say, our Father. And tell the juju way to, I have things to say. And then they will say, our Father. And as he's saying, our Father, in fact, you know, he will be holding one idol in his hand and saying, our Father. You follow my point? But actually, our Father is not his Father. Do you follow my point? He still has a God there in his hands. So he can't see our Father. So even though he's saying our Father, he actually can't see our Father. You follow what I'm saying? Because he should have said, our Father who art in our hands. You understand my point? Or who art physically before us, to which we are bowing to as an idol. But Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. Implicit in that is the fact that these people are not worshipping idols. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes, it's just part of the statement. I remember those days when Bishop Oedipo, you started this anointing oil and mantle thing. I heard that there were Muslim women who will come from Ibadan. They ain't giving their lives to Christ. No plans like that. See, the man, they give something where they walk. That's all they know. So as you are praying and preaching and prophesying and singing praises, they are just waiting for when the incantation will start. And they've come with their oil. And they will put it in front. And before they travel, they will anoint their cars. And they will tie a mantle to their businesses. And they actually expect something. Do you follow? Now, they have missed the whole point. You understand what I'm saying? They have totally missed the whole point. They didn't say our Father. They just went to say our Father. You get my point? Their own our Father was just a recitation. It was not after the hidden man of the heart. Alright? Like the Bible says. So those things are implicit. Now, so, I'm just trying to explain the fact that these things, they are converting us to a particular heart, you know, condition. Now, the one I want to focus on today is this issue of forgiving us our trespasses, or our debts, or our transgressions, like he qualified in verse 14, as we have forgiven those who trespass, all right, or transgress against us, or who are indebted to us. I want to explain the heart condition that the Lord is implying for us to have here, so that that's what the prayer is about. Let me quickly explain this. The story we'd like to, I mean, that would be perfect to illustrate the story of Joseph, as you know. Now, we all know Joseph, the story, very well. Joseph was a young boy, loved, a son of his old age, loved by his father. His father loved him very much, and then his brothers did what they did to him. And then his brother, he got into Egypt. He became what he became, which we all know, the de facto ruler of Egypt, of which the Pharaoh was just like the queen of Egypt, you know what I mean, queen of England today, all right? He was not in government. He allowed this man to do anything he wanted, all right? It became very powerful. And the time came, we all know the story, I just want to recap it so that it will blend into what we are saying. A time came that his brothers came to Egypt, and he finally got them. You understand my point? And when they found out it was Joseph, it was not funny. Do you follow my point? It wasn't funny. This is a boy we wanted to kill. This is a boy we sent, we threw into the pit. We sold him into slavery. And we went home and told his father he had died. Now let me just say something to you. What if they did not do that? Would Joseph have gotten to Egypt? The answer is yes. There are different ways to Egypt. Do you understand my point? Yeah, there were different ways to Egypt. Amen? Amen. Yes, Joseph could have taken a flight to Egypt. He could have, there are different ways. The Lord would just have had to use another method. All right? It would have been difficult. Joseph, I don't believe, would have ever gone willingly as a young boy. He would never have gone willingly. If the Lord didn't have those guys to take him to Egypt, he would have brought slave raiders. Those ones would have raided him. Do you understand my point? And taken him to Egypt. The point is that he had to go to Egypt at that time. Whichever way he will go, he will go. Do you follow my point? It's just that he happened to be in the midst of wicked people. And God used wicked people to take him to Egypt. Now, but the story is the response of Joseph. Joseph never saw his brothers as the problem. Now, I said what I said just now to emphasize something. I'm not saying his brothers were not a problem. They were. If you're so wicked, I think it was only Judah that has some kindness in him, if I'm not mistaken. No, first, the oldest brother, all right? And then, about two of them, they had a bit of kindness in them. I'm not very sure now. That's at the time they were, the story is there, just that I've not revised in a while. All right? They wanted to kill him. They said, no, let's not kill him. One was planning to go and return him to his brother, to his father, okay? The rest of them were willing to kill him. Those were bad people. Just by the way, sometimes when I see the way God is doing things, even me, I do wonder. And still name these tribes of Israel after them. Those guys were not nice. They were not nice people, though. They were going to kill that boy in cold blood, bury him, and tell his father that something happened to him. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right? But the point is that you have to learn how to tackle life. Otherwise, you have high blood pressure, and your brain is going to just crack one day. All right? If you go around wondering why human beings are like this. Better accept them that that's the way they are. They are wicked people. You have to walk by the grace of God to keep you away from wicked people. He said, have respect to the covenant. Because the dark places of this earth are filled with the habitations of cruelty. People are very wicked. Do you follow? Uh-huh. But don't worry about them. Somebody sat with me today and was trying to explain to me. I'm not saying this. Of course, I don't agree with him. I don't. You know, Sanusi Lamido. Sanusi. Uh-huh. I don't know the man. I just see one handsome man that dresses very well on television. That's all I know. And speaks very good English. His English is beautiful. And you can just sit down. And the man is hyper-intelligent. Very smart man like this. That's all I know about him. He's very handsome. Speaks very good English. He dresses very well. And the man is just too smart. I mean, that's just what I know about Sanusi. As for what is going on in his heart, I have no idea. A man sat me down today and tried to explain to me, you know, we have three new strange named banks in Nigeria now. Keystone Bank, Enterprise Bank, and Main Street Bank. That Main Street Bank is one I don't understand, the kind of rubbish name. Whoever invented that, they should flog him. When they finish flogging that one, they should turn to the person who brought Keystone. Is it Keystone?
Yes.
Uh-huh. They should. The only one that makes a bit of sense is Enterprise. Told me how all the enterprise banks have been engineered so as to return some things back to some segments of the country. I said, my friend, you know I will never believe this thing you say. He finished, I said, you know I will never believe it. Say from now to tomorrow, this is one guy you can't persuade. The biggest of the banks, they in quote survived. All right? That's Intercontinental and Oceanic. All right? Anyway, I don't want to analyze that. But the point I've been making to people again and again, and I think Christians overreact to things. They overreact. We talk nonsensely and ignorantly. All right? This issue of this is a scheme to Islamize Nigeria. Don't ever repeat it. It's not a good thing to say. It's not a good thing to say. Human beings are too paranoid. That's one. But as Christians, it shouldn't bother you. It should not bother you. No, really. I know what I'm saying. People say, no, it's not good for us to be crowded. That's not complacency. What should worry us more? I've been saying it again and again. Is to ask them, not mention names, one of those banks, how come your senior managers were adulterers? Why? I mean, these men were going by no titles, deacons, pastors, and all of that. The men over them should call them. Oh God, did you do this thing? Is it true? Is it how to manage a bank? Did you mismanage it? It's called seeking first his righteousness. I mean, the fact that you pay tithe doesn't mean they're a Christian enterprise. Some people pay protection money to mafia, and that's all God is to them. Our mafia who art in heaven, our mafia don't who art in heaven. I mean, I pay your protection money. You're supposed to watch my back. What's going on? So that's what some people are doing. Doesn't make it Christian at all. What makes it Christian is the righteousness of God that is found therein. Very important. But let me not get carried away by that. Let me sit on my message, please. So the point I'm making is that Christians, don't look at that. Does Sanusi have a hidden agenda? I don't know. Truth? I don't care. Don't ever forget the scripture. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you die suddenly. Is my point? He said, you perish out of the way. If indeed any person has a hidden agenda against the Lord Jesus Christ, the person is in trouble. If indeed somebody has any hidden agenda, and if I really am angry, you know what I would do? I will enter into my closet and read that scripture. That way, if I'm not too sure, I just read that scripture a few times. If you read it, I read it, and read it all over the corners of this country, you will see what will happen. I still remember very well. That man has taught me a lesson. Then a brother spoke very wrongly about the head of state. I didn't think he was a nice man, General Sani Abacha. Just I had a rule. I don't speak against the ruler of a country, especially your country. Paul said it clearly. When Paul called somebody a whitewashed wall, and he said, and they slapped him and said, how can you? No, they told him to slap him. And I said, you whitewashed, he was talking. He said, can you speak like that against the high priest? Paul apologized instantly. He said, I'm sorry, I did not know he was a high priest. If I knew he was a high priest, no matter what he did against me, I would have kept quiet. So I told the brother then, you don't, we had a bit of argument and all of that. So anyway, I just kept quiet. Later in the evening, I was speaking, I was teaching a seminar, and I told the people, please, be careful, don't do that kind of thing. And I said simply, I said, look, if the man is doing what is not the will of God, and God is tired of him, he will kill him, he will just die suddenly. The following month, the man died. I said it in May, around May 1st, or April 30th, one of those days, because my convention was around the end of April into May. The following month, the man died. Oh. I wasn't married then. I think when I found out, one of those days I came to Benin, and I told him, I said, this is what I said last convention, that I didn't know, I wasn't cursing him to die. I was not praying he should die. I just made a statement of fact that if you oppose the work of God, you will die suddenly. I'm just using that one to let Christians know where we should focus our energy. But the main thing I'm trying to say is this, forgive us our trespasses. I'm trying to bring out an issue here, and Joseph. So you see that the purpose of God will be served. And Christians must learn to focus on that and on that alone. That's what I'm trying to bring out. You should understand that these people, like Joseph, when he was being sent into Egypt, of course, he didn't understand this then, but at least you and I know now that what should have been in his mind if he knew was that these people are wicked. But whatever they are doing, in their wickedness, they are executing the work of God. Do you follow my point? Like I said, if they did not do wickedly, would they have gone to Egypt? Yes. There are many roads to Egypt. There are many other wicked people. You don't have to be the wicked one. But if you are the subject of wickedness, I'm going somewhere, all right? You should bear that in mind. These people are doing the will of God for your life with their wickedness. I'm not saying wickedness is the will of God. But in executing the... Because God doesn't make good people bad and does not make bad people good. Did you hear what I said? Jesus. Let me say it again. Except they come to him with repentance and willingness to change. God does not make good people bad and does not make bad people good. Judas was Judas because he wanted to be Judas. Do you follow my point? The Lord would never have converted Peter to Judas. You understand what I mean by Judas was Judas? That is, Judas betrayed Jesus, not because the Lord said somebody must betray him, so make anybody betray him. No. No. The Bible says it clearly. It said the Lord has made everything for a purpose. It said even the wicked has been made for their rule in the day of destruction. When there's destruction, God will look for a wicked man. He doesn't make the person present wicked so as to execute destruction. That's why he said, if it is necessary, I will call a man of my purpose from a distant country. I don't just make the man there become a man of my purpose by force. If he doesn't have the heart that can do it, I look for somebody that has the heart that can do it. And there was a time he didn't find any. He says, therefore, I sought for somebody to do it. I did not find any. So I did what I did not want to do. I brought judgment when I wanted to show mercy. But there was no... He didn't just force the sinner to start praying for mercy. He can't make a good person bad and make a bad person or make a bad person good. Except they willingly come and say, this is my heart. Change it. And that's why David used to pray. Check me. Is there any problem? Please, oh. And you should pray that prayer regularly. You are getting the point I'm making. So that was why when these brothers of Joseph now came to him and they were trying to say, you know, the negotiation. Say, our father said, it's our father, it's not us. We don't care. We know we have sinned. You can kill us if you want. It's just that our father said he shouldn't kill us. That was the trick they were using for the young man. Eh? That our father said, but the one I want to bring out is what he said. He said, am I in God's stead? Am I God, all right, to kill and to make alive? No. You may have meant wickedly by what you did, but God used it for his own purpose, all right, to save your life, the life of your children, and preserve a nation. He sent me ahead. I have preserved Pharaoh, his people, and now the people of Israel, the people of God, I have been instrumental to preserving them. Therefore, I bear you no grudge. Do you understand that? If you are holding... See, you know I said some things are just inside the statements. If you are holding things against people, do you follow? Then our Father is not in heaven. Our Father is inside the person. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. The reason why you are angry is because you are disappointed. Do you follow? Now, you know, I said something and emphasized it. I'm not saying the person is not bad. I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody at all. Some people are bad. Some people are wicked. Some people don't want anybody to progress. But if you don't want anybody to progress, and you stand in my way and you say to me, you will not progress, I will laugh. I will laugh because if I have to progress, you will be crushed in the process. Why? Because the spirit of progression that is progressing me, all right, is a bulldozer. You know what I'm saying? The spirit of God in me that wants to make me move forward doesn't understand obstacles. It walks over them. It will just roll over them. Now, I know that. Therefore, if you succeed in your work of making sure I don't make progress. Now, I want to explain something here. If you succeed in your work of making sure I don't make progress, it's only because God said, go ahead. Did you hear what I said? It's only because God agreed. That's the only reason. There's no second reason. That's why Pilate looked at Jesus and said, do you know? He was talking to Jesus. Jesus was answering him. He said, do you know I have the power to release you or to kill you right now? And Jesus looked at him and said, they are bragging. Listen, my friend, you would not have had that power except God gave it to you. Therefore, this is what I was saying. I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of God and of God alone. He's the only person I fear. And why I'm not talking, I'm adding my own words. Why I'm not talking is because I know the end of this matter. You think I should be afraid for my life. I cured that fear in the garden before these guys arrived. I knew where this thing would go. Months ago, I was preparing my disciples for today. What is the negotiation about so that I can go free? I know where I'm going, so don't worry about it. Now, you are getting what I'm saying? That's understanding. That's why he was not afraid. Do you follow? So, if somebody stands like that and refuses to release you, your name is Jesus Christ, you are going to the cross, you have done everything, the man still did not allow you to go. Listen to me. It is because God said, you are not going anywhere. That's why Jesus said to us, listen to this, when you are praying about a situation. Now, this is what I believe. Now, listen to this. He said, forgive us our debts. He said that first. All right? There's a reason why I said that. I believe, I will explain that in a moment. I pray God gives me the ability to connect it easily so that I don't cause any confusion. What he was saying, I will explain in a moment. All right? Let me quickly drop it so I can come back to it. All right? Let me explain it ahead. What he was saying, in effect, is that if I have any problem in life I want to pray about, I don't focus on the people causing the problem first. I focus on the relationship between me and God because it is possible, because of my transgressions, there are obstructions in my pathway. I don't know what I heard I said. That is, I want to make progress, like I was saying, and there's an obstruction. Before I start getting angry at the man who is there, I first check inside what is happening between me and God. Quickly, let's read this one that from the book of Job. So it's not just about reciting a prayer. It's an attitude. Do you follow my point? When he said, forgive us our trespasses. Job chapter 30. Please, I'm looking for the one that says, no one says, okay, yeah, 35 verse 9, please. There were four or five things I love in that area. One is in 33, one is in 34, one is in 35, one is in 36. All right, 35, please. He said, verse 9, because of the multitude of oppressions they cry out, for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker? Now, that's where I was going. No one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth? And makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it. Now, let me just stop there. All right, verse 13. In verse 9, let me go by it again just to point out some things. He said, people are complaining because of the multitude of oppressions. People are oppressing them. The mighty are oppressing them. He now said, but they don't say, where is God my maker? That's where I'm going to. Just hold it there. Now, let's go back to the words of Jesus. He said, pray like this, forgive us our trespasses. This is what I'm saying. People have come to pray because of the multitude of oppressions. But they are focusing all the time on the power of the oppressor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Elihu said, they forget that they should have started with, forgive us our trespasses. That is, where is God our maker? If you go and see the prayer of Daniel, in that Daniel chapter 9, when he was praying for the deliverance of Israel, he found that 70 years is the time. And when he began to pray, did he pray that, God, it is time to break the hand of the mighty? No. He began to confess. That's what he said. I began to confess the sins of the fathers, the sins of the people. This is what we have done. This is why judgment has come upon us. He began to plead for the mercy of God, even though he had a promise that this is the year of deliverance. You know, I've told you. This is how one of the ways you know an ignorant prophet. I used to use the word false prophet alone. I've added another one to it, ignorant prophet. Once somebody sits down and starts saying, your enemies are in trouble. This night, you are going to face your enemies. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. The arm of the enemies, it shall be broken. And they go on and on. There's nothing wrong with that. You need some of those prayers once in a while. Are you getting my point? But then at the end of 5 hours, we have tackled the enemies, the devil, the problems, the demons, all the missiles, RTS, you understand? Those RTS. Ah, you live in the day of email. Return to sender. Oh, you don't know what they call RTS. Ah, in post office those days, when you send a letter, it not reach anywhere. They will put on there, RTS. That's why you have to put your return address at the back. And put RTS. All the missiles, return to sender. And they go on and on. Elihu said, I was in that prayer meeting. No one said, where is God my maker? What he was saying, no one tried to reconcile himself with God. No one wondered why the enemies were powerful over him. No one wondered why he was the subject of these problems. No one wondered why the issues of life were so strong, even though his God is supposed to be strong. And the way Moses warned the children of Israel, he said, well, how come one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000? Now, he was not talking about the power of the Israelites. He was talking about the power of their enemies. He said, how come? He said, except that their Lord gave them up. Do you understand my point? So he said, look, that it was when he was teaching the Israelites their songs. That look, that's one song you should bear in mind. If we're having problems, how come as powerful as we think we are, a small nation is overcoming us? He said, where is God my maker? He said, that means our God gave us up. So Jesus said, when you come to a situation like that, you should bear it in mind. Forgive us what? Our own trespasses. Because we must be reconciled to God. That's what he was saying. Listen, I'm not talking about walking in sin consciousness. Think that we just start confessing sin when there's no sin. If there is sin, confess it. But you must never lie to yourself and rationalize away something that is wrong. Do you get my point? He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. You Christians, you must confess your sins. It's important. It is important. Because you know, the Holy Spirit is very alive. And he sees everything you do. He will point it out to you, boy, this is where the problem began. You know, to obey, they said, is what? Better than to sacrifice. I was reading Ed Cole. He said, many people, what they try to do, they use disobedience to enter into a trouble. And they want to use sacrifice to come out of it. Do you understand my point? Without acknowledging the sin involved. A man goes into an office, lied to get in, forged certificates to get in, and he has forgotten. That was 6 years ago. Now he's walking there. Troubles begin. All my enemies in this office, they will not succeed. I have a hot anointing. I'm just coming from Holy Ghost night. Special anointing that the GO put inside this one. All my enemies, they're not the other enemies. This one. It is the door you opened 6 years ago that you need to close through confession of sin. That's why I said, forgive us our trespasses. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting the point I'm making? That's why I started with that. That forgive us our trespasses. Because in the times of prayer, oftentimes what we are trying to do is solve the problems in our lives. And listen to me, as a matter of fact, many of them we brought into our own lives with our own hands. And this is the interesting part. God said, all I want is just acknowledge your... Oh God, the Lord is very good. He was speaking through Jeremiah. He said, I've not told you to do many things. I've just said one thing. Do what? Acknowledge your iniquity. Just say it was wrong. Don't say, you know the situation of the country. No. How can somebody get by in this country without doing that kind of thing? The Lord said, you see? This is why my hand appears short, like I cannot deliver. I know you are the senior of the country, but you just come and say it was what? Wrong. And I am culpable. I did it. And I need to repent. I have come to repent. I need to change. You follow what I'm saying? And that's what the Lord was. No, there are two things here. Number one, I said it with one, that the wicked is not powerful. They don't have power in themselves against you because God is on your side. If indeed God was moving in that direction, it will crush them. Listen, there's no explanation. I've heard people say all kinds of things. Ah, God has helped me in this my life. God has helped me in this my life. You know, sometimes, let me say something, but when I say God has helped me, when I hear God has helped me, I don't have a testimony of 5 million naira to give you. I have a testimony of understanding to give you. Yes. No, that's the greatest thing. I told you before that one of the greatest things God did for me was to teach me the law of boundaries. Give me boundaries in life. Allow me to know what is good and what is bad. Do this, don't do that. You're not allowed to do this. Even though it looks okay, don't do it. Everybody says, all right. All right? What I want to say is this. There are times people will try and explain the reason why you are being victimized. I don't know what I gave my point. Like that person I was telling you earlier, that was telling me about Sanusi having a hidden agenda. I've noticed that anytime he talks, like the other day, we're having a discussion in my office. They want to elect a very principal officer, a big man in the institution. So I was just making a joke. I said, I think I should run for that post. And I said, okay, don't just worry about that. The caucus has already decided who they want. That's how he reasons. If they appoint him, I say, okay, you know, that man is from Anambra. This one is from Enugu. This has been brought forth to balance the power of that one from Imo. That's the only way he reasons. And if God now brings a man from Adamawa to scatter the whole equation, he will suddenly reconstruct his mathematics. That man from Adamawa, or guy you have forgotten, his wife is actually married to a cousin of the Igwe of this particular place. He said, he may look like Adamawa man, but forget that one. He's doing the bidding of the Abia man. How do you know? He said, no, now, okay, I'm serious. God is my witness. His cousin is the husband to the first daughter of the Igwe of, you mentioned one place in Abia State. So once he starts, I said, oh, but you know I don't believe you. Once we're having that discussion, he said, oh, guy, I know you never agree. I said, yes, now that you know I never agree, why are you bothering me? So let us assume, for example, that something was due, I thought, or we thought something was due to me. That's me, all right, as a person. And I didn't get it. You come and say, what did I tell you? You know, this, you see, you know, you are not from this area. They had already carved this. Today, he and I were talking. Listen to me. I said, there are people I know God can never make president. Now, let me tell you now, hear it ahead of time. You have that mentality, you will never head this nation. You have that mentality, you will never be a governor. Hear me, I'm warning you. It's not because God is wicked, he's merciful. Because once you become the president, the people that are not from the areas that you are from, they're in trouble. So because of the mercy he wants to show to those who are not your kindred, he has to make sure you never make it. Spend all the money you want, you ain't getting there. But God is looking. Now, so anytime this guy and I are talking, and it goes on and on like that, I say, listen, oh boy, you know I don't understand what I don't agree with what they are saying. People have told me that when we were seeing the old side, there was one man talking to me once. He said, hey, the problem is that you're a Yoruba man, that this you don't understand the maneuverings. Because they will be trying to say, look, okay. Because oftentimes I heard, you know, some thing, you know, maybe some units that many people are involved in. Do not come and explain that. Please, don't agree for this. Agree for this. I said, what's the problem? He said, you know, these people from this area, they have made up their mind that only them or their brothers will be getting it. I said, okay. He said, but look at this. And you keep on talking. I said, no, this is not right. This is just the proper thing to do. He said, well, guy, you don't understand. It's because you are not from here. So you don't understand what these people... That is, my ears are full of, now this is the interesting part, arrant nonsense. As this man and I were speaking today about this banking matter, I just realized something. I told myself this afternoon, I said, Father in heaven, if I wasn't the kind of person that I was, this guy will poison my mind so much, I will now go to a place where the people are not even thinking you know, that way. But I start interpreting everything in the light of what is not real. And they are generating a new problem. Then listen. Then they will be forced to respond because of the attitude I have brought in. And their response will now be a confirmation to me that I was right. I don't know what the hell I said. Imagine I get to Central Bank and I believe everything that guy said. Everything, good things I know he did, I will undo. Are you getting the point? And in undoing it, I'll be making myself look sectarian, you understand my point, to the other people. And they'll be forced to respond. I will think that I was responding to them, but I started it. They are only responding to me. That's the problem you have in countries. Worse, that nobody knows where it started from. Nobody knows. Because you ask this man, he said, this man was doing this. And you ask that man, he tells this man was doing this. Who did what first? You don't know anymore. Do you follow my point? Now, I will say something that God has really helped me in life. If I'm denied something, I have never been able to believe that it's because of my natural disadvantage. I just believe that it's because God doesn't want me to have it. And I'm not just trying to make myself happy. It is a matter of fact. That's the way it works. And I have many testimonies. I have seen people scheming. Now, you know they call scheming. You know they call scheming. That is, they have schemed. I've seen this one happen. A man schemed to give something to his literal brother. Except that when the thing was coming, it was not delivered through the means he thought it would be. And it was not in his power to control. They happened to give it to somebody else who was too busy to handle it. And he now gave it to another person to handle for him. And when they needed somebody from my segment, that person happened to be a personal friend. So, and you understand that your brother called you and said, look, this particular appointment is coming. I've reserved it for you. I've talked to the person in charge. You understand? And they will put you in it. I said, fine. But when they wanted to set up the committee that would be picking those who are going to be appointed, the person who was supposed to be chairman said, I'm too busy. He appointed somebody else to chair for him. That person he appointed happened to be my friend. And he just decided that, to occupy this post, I beg, now banking go good. Banky, where you doing? I beg, issue deal. So by the time the person waiting found out the thing had even arrived in the country, I was already seated right in the center. And I had no idea. I had no idea it was going on. I don't know what I heard I said. I had no idea. It was later on as I started seeing reactions and I said, Now listen to me. You know, there's one thing about Christians. You must understand something. It is easy to understand the testimony now when it blessed me. It is still a testimony when it misses me. I don't know what I heard I said. It's still a testimony. So, let us assume that thing landed in the hand of the other fellow. Do you understand my point? A man who doesn't know God will come and say, it's nepotism. I knew that this person will never give me anything. Because I'm not from here, I'm not connected to this person, I'm not linked to this person, I'm not married to this person. You don't tell the stories. Listen, if God could bring it this way, he can take it that way. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if he went the other way, I take it also as God. Even though the natural explanation for why it went that way, look, it makes sense. He's married to that fellow sister here. That is better. And this is, and you know you are not connected in any way. That is why you did not get it. Did not appoint. Did not give it to you. All of that. Now you see that it is a lie. It may make, do you understand? The natural thing flows, but it's not the truth. God left it like that because he didn't want to give it to me. That's the way I see it. And things like that have passed me again and again and again and again. And I learned long ago always to smile. No, always to smile. I don't care the explanation people have for it. I say, it was not mine. That's why you got it. Do you follow my point? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. And that is why I am not angry at all with anybody. Never. I am not angry. Some of you know, I've told this story again and again. My coming to Enugu, there was something that happened. That natural people have said that you were stabbed in the back. In fact, I had to send one of my friends to go and meet another person. Say, please go and tell that fellow I'm not angry. I don't know whether I get the point. Let us assume now you were supposed to get an appointment. Your colleague in the office, the day they brought the letter, he collected the letter. He didn't hide it too. He kept it for you. But before you read it, he had rushed to go and say, so there's an appointment, opportunity open. So he quickly pushed himself in and blocked every way by which you would have gotten that one, even though you were the first, as an example. So by the time you now find out that he had picked it and you don't have it anymore, you are in the same office. Natural thing he would do is he start feeling one kind. You understand? If you are coming, suddenly he has this urge to go and pee. Just because you are coming, you get up and you go and pee. You know that kind of thing? After a while, I called the guy and say, I couldn't tell him directly. I said, please, tell him to stop peeing this reckless pee. It's not necessary. Yes. I've colored this story. You can never decode the real thing that happened, all right? I said, tell him to stop peeing that reckless pee. It's not necessary. Tell him I'm not angry. As God in heaven is my witness, I have never been as unangry as that in my life. You understand my point? It was a big deal. I mean, if I'm remembering many things that happened like that, I remember one particular, I was supposed to get a particular accommodation then. There was a way the thing was done like this. They just passed it beside me. Phew! My wife was angry. I just told the man in charge. I said, for your information, you know I told you then. I said, whatever you guys decide is the will of God. I told the man in charge of the committee. And as God is my witness, that was how I felt. That was what I knew. I'm explaining this point. Forgive us our trespasses. Many people are praying prayer points that God is not listening to. God, it is not fair. This is marginalization. In the name of Jesus, it must come to an end. Marginalization. In the name of Jesus. Now, God is not, he said it's not marginalization, it is denialization. I'm denying you. What is it? Like my new English there. Yes. That's the one who don't recognize the power of God. Do you understand my point? We are now angry with people. When we don't recognize the power of God, that my uncle, I've been calling him. He never answers my call. Wait, not for him. Once I'm talking like that, it's our Father who art in my uncle. Do you understand my point? He's no longer our Father who art in heaven. Because if you recognize our Father who art in heaven, if your uncle doesn't take the call, it makes no difference. And that my auntie, if she would just do this, by now I'll be settled. God said, you don't need the settlement engineered by that person. Do you follow my point? I mean, what could make somebody angrier than the fact that you were in prison with a government minister, the right-hand man of the king of those days? You helped him. You prophesied freedom into his life. Assume that Joseph was our kind of prophet. I see, as it were, between now and the day after tomorrow, hallelujah, it shall come to pass that, as it were, the king shall send for you and he shall set you free. Stand up to your feet, sir. Stand up to your feet. In that dream, what else did you say you saw? Oh, and the word of the Lord is coming to me and you prophesy. Wah! Just as you prophesy, it just happened. You know what you start expecting? Offering. Yes, the man should give you an offering. You prophesied him out of bondage. For Joseph, it was freedom. No, be so. But these days, their pastors were angry. That man used to be a member of this church. We prayed for him. Now he's a commissioner. He doesn't remember us anymore. May he forget you further in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I will say the amen for you if you don't want to say it. What is it in? No, because that's what happened. This man forgot Joseph. 2 complete years. Joseph will say, they say, you know, Mr. Maybe Potiphar or whatever that one. I don't know what his name is. I don't know Egyptian names. Okay. Mr. Cleopatra. Cleopatra is a woman, so maybe Cleopatra is a man. He said, you know, Mr. Cleopatra is back to the office. Joseph will say, are you serious? Yes. He has been upon. Hey, God of miracle. Now my papa. Oh. Hey, Joseph, good. He said, Joseph, why are you dancing? I'm connected. How far? You understand? First day, second day, third day. By the 5th day, the guy returned to work. He said, there's no need to wait. Anytime a chariot will arrive, Joseph will look. Now, what did they find? First month, second month, third month, they didn't look for him. After 6 months, he concluded that God is really angry with me. But 2 years later, at the appropriate time, the man remembered. Which tells that God can make people forget. The man was not bad. The Lord didn't just give him the ability to remember. why I knew that he was not a bad man, the day he remembered, he was repentant. He said, ah, Jesus, how did I forget this? He was sad. But God said, no, he's not. If you are remembered before now, this man won't be in the place where we want him to be. So you pray for the man, he has become a commissioner, and he didn't send an offering, and he's a pastor. Thank God. Because if he sent that offering, your ministry will be in trouble. I'm not saying he stole the money. I'm just saying that God said you don't need that level of money yet. There are pastors who are angry. When he was having troubles in his business, we were praying for him. Now he has gone now. Now he has money. He doesn't remember us. This is one guy that God taught long ago not to even think like that. Why? Because what you are looking for is in the hands of God. Are you getting my point? So let's get back to our prayer. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Forgive us our trespasses. Sometimes we are the problems. As we have forgiven those who trespassed against us, that is, we recognize that they don't have power over us. That is an attitude. It's not just the words. It's the attitude. So you don't make human beings your prayer point. Like I said to you, I'm not saying people are not bad. But the other day, it was Bishop. Where's Bishop? Bishop and I went somewhere. And a man treated me very badly. I remember I told you that I'm not angry with him. That is for what he did to me. I said, but this man is not a good man. I wasn't talking about me now. And I will tell you later, that thing turned out to be good. No, I will tell you. It turned out to be good. And I'll explain it to you afterwards. I said, look, I'm not angry with him because of me. And I prayed a simple prayer. I said that day, dear Lord, it's crucial you don't put this man in authority. Nah, yes, I'm serious. That was the prayer I prayed. Not because of me. No. I said, but his attitude will not help a place go forward. So once you have used him to execute what you want to use him to execute, please, oh, quickly remove this man from here. That's my opinion. I expressed it. It's a decree of the watchers, like the Bible said. Yes. And the reason because it was, if you get our emails, all right, I told the story, all right. The reason being that he had the reputation of being a bad man. And when I stepped in, he lived up to his, because before then I told the person who said, look, go and see, and I said, I want to go and see this man. He said, don't bother. Don't bother. That is a very bad person. That's what she told me in summary. That is a very bad person. I said, don't worry. I'm a man that has favor. I said, you wanted to leave now. Is it not so? She said, yes. I said, but you agreed to wait to talk to me. Is that not so? I said, I'm a favored man. Just watch it. So I went, and I did not receive any favor. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Am I a favored man? Yes, of course. I'm still a favored man. I'm a favored man. It's not dependent on the number of favors I receive. I'm a favored man. Do you get my point? I'm a man who can eat food. Whether I have food or not, I can eat. Can't I eat? Nobody mouth be this. Nobody teeth be this. I can chew. So if you don't see me eating food, doesn't mean I can't eat. So even though you didn't give me favor, it doesn't mean I'm not a favored man. I'm a favored man. Grace is in my stomach. Understand my point? The favor of God is with me all the time. So I went in and the man did very, very badly. I just said, this must be the will of God. However, because he's a wicked man, with all the forgiveness that Joseph forgave his brothers, you think he will send his sons to go out with them to the field? Forgiving them, when I say, okay, Ephraim, Manasseh, follow Uncle to the market. Manasseh, come here. It's risky. Last time I followed this guy somewhere, I didn't come back home. Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, you have a man in your office, handling your money, you wallop your money, boom, like this. They say, forgive him, he's a brother. You still put him in charge of accounts, you decrease. You still leave him in charge of accounts. You forgive him and put him to be at the gate, opening the gate and closing the gate. Don't reduce his salary. If you reduce his salary, you are angry. Don't reduce his salary. Huh? But in the interest of peace and tranquility, you understand my point? You move the guy from where the account is being done. The Lord is good. So what I'm trying to say is that, see, I'm not saying people are not bad. Do you understand my point? But you realize that your life is not in their hands. Yes. And that's why you can't be angry. So we don't make prayer points of people. Let me just summarize like that. You don't make people prayer points. You don't make enemies prayer points. You don't sit down on them. What the Bible says is that forgive them. Don't worry about them. I told one day a friend of mine, the son, one of the kids, a boy, he died. So a neighbor now came one day Madam, good afternoon. You know, I have found out the person that killed your child. Now, this child was sick, and the child died. But you know, this is Africa. There's no smoke without fire. There's no fever without a witch. If you sneeze two times, it's a wizard. If your business collapses, it's the principalities in the village. You understand? It's Africa. So the woman came and said, I have found out the person who killed your child. And my friend started laughing. She couldn't hold back the laughter. She started laughing and laughing and laughing. And the woman was like, what's wrong with this one? He said, what is wrong with me? I will tell you. Is that, listen to me, madam. No human being on this earth has the power to kill my child. Forget the idea. Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm going. She will go out now. And I'm saying, don't mind her. They will soon kill all the other children. But my friend said it boldly. And said, madam, she laughed. That is, laughed heartily. And said, please don't worry about it. Nobody has the power to kill my child. Nobody. Listen, this is Pastor Banky for you. Even if I saw them do the sacrifice. Do you understand my point? I saw it. I saw it in the vision. It's not possible. It's not possible. If it is mine, no human being can take it. The time the son of David died, David knew it was God. He sat there throughout begging God. He was saying, forgive me this trespass. God said, this one, forget. I have forgiven you. You know that's what Nathan said. I have forgiven you, but this child is going. David, no, look and check. David didn't think, look, I told you before, that's why he was angry with Joab when Joab killed Absalom. He was angry. He told them, please, deal kindly with the boy for my sake. The reason was simple. He knew this was not him. There was a force bigger than that fellow that was worrying David. So what he was supposed to do was pray, forgive us what? Our trespasses. Forgive me my debt. If I have offended against you, Lord, please forgive. It was not just waking up in the morning. Absalom and his cohorts, Holy Ghost, fire. You want me to sit on my throne? Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. If your debts have not been forgiven, you can shout Holy Ghost fire from now till tomorrow. Nobody is going to be burnt. Nobody is going to be scattered. You are getting the point I'm making. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That's what the Lord Jesus was teaching us in that particular context. Like I said, let me just summarize it and then I leave here. He wasn't talking about just words in prayer. He was talking about what? An attitude. He was talking about an attitude. That's why you never saw him fight the Romans. Did you notice that? Look, the zealots were, in fact, if you ever saw one of the, you know, there are different movies of Jesus of Nazareth, all right? There was one in which one of the zealots came at night. Saw how powerful Jesus was with the crowd. And explained to him how many men they have ready. That, sir, we are here to serve you. These are men carrying swords. You know what they call Al-Qaeda today? I told you that in there. It didn't start with these people. Original zealots were Jews. They were Jews, zealots. There was one man I saw on TV that he was fighting that time that the Romans leveled Jerusalem to show everybody how committed he was to the cause. After giving a powerful speech to his Al-Qaeda members, Jew, all right? He put down his hand like this, his own hand. He put down his hand like this, took his sword and cut off his own little finger. So for all his men to know that he's a serious guy. And put up the hand. See, all of them queued up. They were cutting off their own fingers like a covenant. We will not leave Jerusalem until we deliver it from the Romans. The Romans came, killed all of them. The Romans. Thank God there are no Romans again. You know Romans? You know the way they do? You know this Al-Shabaab? And what's the name of Meduguri? Boko Haram. Even our Romans, they will just come there. They will surround the whole place. As they are surrounding, better start running. That's what Jesus said. When you see these armies begin to surround Jerusalem, know that her desolation is near. Begin to miss. What they are telling is that if you're not ready to fight, disappear. When they start, they will only stop when there's nobody breathing, no movement there again. They will level everywhere. Next time you hear Al-Shabaab or Boko Haram coming, you are the ones that will repel them. Don't come here. Romans, they were very, very terrible people. That's how they used to quell riots. Level everywhere. What am I saying? But did Jesus fight them one day? No. You know, in fact, go and read that sermon. He said, if a Roman soldier was in effect, tells you, go with me 1 mile. He said, go with him too. He said, don't resist evil. What he was saying, that if the oppressor wants to oppress you, don't resist it. Don't worry. What he was saying, in effect, is that it's not him. When God comes back on your side, your very presence, the man will disappear. So when you see him flexing shoulder, don't worry. Jesus said, don't resist evil. That's what he was talking about. Because the power to oppress, you understand, was given to the man. Do you understand the point I'm making? Listen, no matter where you are, you have a boss over your head, he's a temptation for you. You can't pray him out of your life by yourself. You can't. You can't carry his name. That is witchcraft. What did I call it? Let me say it again. It's witchcraft. Christians do it these days. They go prayer meeting. They bring the name of their boss in the office. This is the man that's my problem. And the pastor who doesn't understand will start praying. This is the principality. He said, yes, this one. Bring his photograph. Once I start bringing pictures, photographs, his cloth, sound from where he stepped on, that's witchcraft. Yeah. It has entered into Christianity now. It's witchcraft. It doesn't matter that you say your own is Holy Ghost fire. It is what? Witchcraft. You think a man is your problem. So I write his name down. Who is that man that will not let you progress? Write his name down. Speak against him. Some of us, we have spoken against people like that and they have died. It is still witchcraft. I'm not saying I did it too. I'm just saying that some of us, I like to say us, because we Christians, we are one in this Christmas. You like that English, Christmas? We are one. We are together in it. We do it. It's what? Witchcraft. You're not supposed to do that. If you don't know what to do, quote the scripture. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you pressure out of the way. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you pressure out of the way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That's better. Keep on quoting that scripture, and don't ever forget, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's why, you know, they said that some people are making plans. Like, we're talking about Sanusi, and I said, it's a lie. That man is very handsome. Amen. He speaks very good English. He dresses very well. Dresses better than Suludo and the... What's the name of that man before Suludo? Sanusi also. That was also Sanusi, but Sanusi from Ondo State. Uh-huh. All of them before, nobody... All of them, all their glory is not as arrayed as... Lamido Sanusi, that's all I know. The man speaks good English and is very intelligent. What is going on in his heart, I don't know. But anybody... I don't care the name he goes by, that rises up against the cause of Christ in this nation will be destroyed in that process. That one I know for sure in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What the man is doing, I don't know. Peradventure is doing good. May God bless him and keep him. May his wife love him and his children love him. May he be saved and be converted to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. Pray that prayer for enemies also. That's those you perceive. You understand my point? Perceive, because they are not your enemies. That's what the Lord was telling you. They are not your enemies. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses. That one is very important. That's why we read from that Job chapter 35, just now, that verse 9. It's important. Listen, if God is happy with you, anybody angry with you has just put himself in trouble. Are you getting my point? God said to you, I will bless those that bless you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Anybody who wants to curse you, I will curse him. You get my point? Believe it. That's what's happening to you. God will bless those that will bless you. And he will, listen to this. When the time comes for him to elevate you, he will bring people into office that will show you favor. Listen, let me give you this short testimony. It's funny, but it really happened right here, across here, Cosmo FM. First time I went to Cosmo FM. You know, Pastor Banky was the first preacher on Cosmo. Yes. I was the first. The MD that time, I don't know why, but he said he did not want preachers on the radio station. First time I went, when I saw the rate was much higher than they give normal people. I said, look, religious programs was very expensive. I thought to tell the lady, what do people mean? And he said to me that actually they don't want. He said it very nicely. So I left. Not because they didn't want to, but because the money did not want. You know what I'm saying? The money they were charging did not want also. It's not just with mouth, they didn't want. They put the rate, 25,000 naira for just a few minutes like this. For what? Now, I come out. Now, I want to go somewhere, all right? I began to negotiate with Radio Nigeria then, and we finished our discussions. Thank God we didn't follow through because it happened to be a bad deal, what we were getting. We thought it was good. But the day I was supposed to go and pay, somebody just said, Oga, why didn't you go to Cosmo? I said, I've been there. He said, I just tried. Just talk to them now. Then there was something else that happened. Those two things put together made me go back to Cosmo. Now, so the guy said that, well, they've allowed them to negotiate. This time around, they met a guy. And we negotiated. The price came down from 25 to 15,000. All right? For your information, by the time we doubled the rate, our frequency of broadcast, they even dropped it to 11,000 for us. All right? But that very day, the other MD that didn't really want, he traveled. He was on leave. That's where I'm going to. He was on leave. And somebody acted for him. And the person acting for him thought that, hey, these preachers, they spend money. That was his own. So those guys began to give discounts in their minds to preachers if they would come. And I was the first to show up again. This time around, I showed up and we negotiated. And then they gave us a far better rate. Listen to this. By the time I heard later, by the time the man came back, he was upset. But one day I went there, I met the man. We were just talking. Said, oh, yeah, Pastor Banks. So he greeted me very well. We talked. He said, oh, the work you guys are doing, continue to. You are really helping the youth. Say, my mind. You know, say, I know the thing we're having behind. And now, you say, they help youth. If they say, no trouble, now we'll be here to help the youth. You are getting my point. So listen, if he did not travel, if those things did not change for us to allow us in, then God didn't want us there. Do you get my point? So there are places we try to get to, and the door did not open. We are not angry with those who supposedly shut the door. We thank God that that is not the door we are supposed to enter into. That is why we can gladly say, when we say forgive us our trespasses, as we are forgiving those who trespass against us, what we are saying is that we recognize that God, you are the one in our lives. So if we are having problems, it's only because you are angry. Therefore, we will ask for your mercy. Are you getting my point? And that which we see not, teach it to us. If we have done iniquity, Elihu was saying to Job, we will not do it anymore. And for those who God used, you understand, to obstruct our ways, we are not angry with them. That's what he was saying. As we are forgiving those who trespass against us. We are not angry. You wanted the job. Your uncle just, he was on the panel. He do like say, he don't know you. You know that kind of thing. As you enter, you see the guy for panel. Hey, this job now our own. Come on. You know? You are ready. And they are asking you questions. The man do like say, he not did it. You know, uncle, how far? The man do like say, he not did it. And you left. And that comes, they say, what's wrong with you? Why were you talking like that? You're very mean. I'm disappointed. And you look at him and say, I don't know the day, it doesn't do anything for you. It didn't help you. Don't worry about it. It was not your job. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you are angry with him, listen, you will be there for a long time. Let me end with that. If you are angry with him, you will be what? There for a very long time. Do you know why? Because you have not yet truly said, our Father who art in heaven. Do you get my point? Yes, you have not truly said it. So that unforgiveness is a sign of where your eye is still focused on. You get my point? That unforgiveness is a sign of where you are still expecting your help from. You are not expecting your help from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Because if indeed you are expecting your help from the Lord, you cannot hold that against anybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I am saying? That's the summary of forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our transgressions, as we are forgiving those who trespass against us. There's just one part of it. Let me just add it in one line. Jesus said that it is crucial. Whatever you want God to do for you, you should be willing to do it for other people. There are those who have really hurt you in life. You want God to forgive you of what you have done against him. Be ready to forgive them also of what they have done against you. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you are blessed, I say amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you We thank you for the power in your word, for the blessing that you have blessed us today. Say, Father, we thank you. Let's just acknowledge him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise because you are good and your mercies endure forever. Lord, I pray one prayer for everybody present under this voice of mine today. Where we walk in a manner that is not pleasing to you, reveal it to us that we might repent of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, reveal it to us that we might repent of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That prayer is very important. It's very important. We give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Share, brethren, the word.